Good morning and welcome to the Wolf Wake Up Call. I'm Tana Hartman. I'm the host this morning. Our engineer is Dick Paddock and our guest today is Jack Sanders. Jack is the, what's the actual title for the?
I'm the chair of the Orange County Democratic Party.
Chair of the Orange County Democratic Party. Welcome, Jack.
Thank you.
Let's talk a bit about the Orange County Democratic Party, what you all have been involved in besides the election, and your hopes now for the Obama administration and for the new Purdue administration here in the state, if you would.
All right. Well, the Democratic Party is it's a standard county political party. That is, we're involved in the political process within the county, and we have relationships up to the state party. We don't hear much from the national party at our level, but our mission as a Democratic Party is to engage the community in the political process, and we try to do that through public forums. We had several public forums this past year, one on water and growth, for example, in January when we were in the midst of a drought, and another on the transfer tax that went down to defeat in the May primary. Another part of our mission is to promote public policy consistent with the vision of the party. And I'll talk a little more about how we develop our public policy in a little while. And then our third part is to elect Democrats to public office. And we spent a lot of time, we probably spent more time on that latter part of our mission, electing Democrats this year, than anything else, because it was a big election year. We had a big primary in May. And we had, of course, a big general election. And locally, we were quite successful. And nationally, we were very successful with the election of Barack Obama, the first African-American president in this country. And we were very pleased and inspired by him. And we're looking forward very much to his administration and setting this country back on the path to rational government, knowledge-based government, government that's not based on winning small political battles and high partisanship, but based on a spirit of cooperation.
And it seems to be moving already well in that direction.
Oh, indeed it is, yes. As I talk to my fellow Democrats and fellow citizens, there seems to be general approval of the way the administration has done the transition and the various officials that have been appointed to cabinet positions, with, of course, some minor grumbling about some of them.
Yes, okay, and I understand some of the grumbling about some of them, but I think we all have high hopes for this administration, and there's some pretty powerful names there on his list.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. What are your top priorities for the Orange County Dems? What are the top priorities this year?
Well, let's break it down into public policy priorities and then also just party building priorities. And I will start with the latter because that's one of the things that comes around after a big election, after the general election of a president. We then go back into sort of party rebuilding mode. There's a new administration in Washington. There's a new DNC chair, and that happens to be Tim Kaine, governor of Virginia, recently
right.
appointed. There will be a new state party chair elected at the state executive committee meeting on January the 31st. And there will be a new set of precinct officers in all of the local precincts, the Democratic Party precinct organizations, and those elections will take place at our annual meetings in February, and I'll give the details about that at the end of the meeting. So anybody that wants to write down how to go to your precinct meeting, get a pen, and I will review that at the end of the meeting. And then, of course, we'll be electing new county party officers as well on April the 18th at our county convention. So we're in rebuilding mode. One of the big tasks that we have to do is to bring in the newly active citizens that got involved, that got inspired by Barack Obama and joined the political process or rejoined the political process, bring those people in to the Democratic Party. And we've been communicating with the some of the local leadership that came out of the Obama's campaign, the Campaign for Change, and they're often running on the new activity established by the DNC, the Organizing for America, and there's a kickoff meeting for that on the 28th of January. And if anybody wants to get a hold of, find out about that, check on the Democratic Party website, and we will have something on our homepage there, although it's not there right now, but we will get it up there later today. So that's going to be one of the...
What is that website before we go away till now?
It's www.orangedems, all one word, lowercase, .com, orangedems.com. So you can check there. And then as far as, so we're in a rebuilding phase here just in terms of reconstituting the party structure and re-electing new party officials at all levels. And the precinct meetings, in addition to electing new officials, also discuss their program that they may have in mind, and that might be, organizing some sort of public forum, or it might be a service project in the community. So the precincts do that. And the third, and probably this year, one of the more important things they do is to pass public policy resolutions. In the county party, our public policy initiatives typically start, they don't all start at the precincts, but typically they start from some local precinct that says, here's an issue. It can be a local issue, a state issue, or a national or international issue. And someone brings forward a resolution at a precinct meeting and says, here's an issue we need to be involved in, and here's the position that I think we need to take. And if it's passed by the county party, it becomes part of the county party's political program, and we can then use that in our discussions with elected officials and try to promote that particular public policy. We do see that our public policy initiatives, our resolutions, cover a broad scope of what's going on in the country and state and local as well. So just as one example of a state party policy resolution, there's one on immigration that we passed last year, and that has to do with children of immigrants and undocumented children that graduate with flying colors from high school in North Carolina and then are not being allowed even to attend our community colleges. And our resolution was they should be allowed to attend. And the second part of that was they should not have to pay out-of-state tuition. If they're a North Carolina resident, they should be allowed to pay in-state tuition, like all the other citizens of North Carolina and residents of North Carolina. So that's an example. And we take stands on international affairs, like let's bring home the troops from Iraq and end that war there that has drained the country of so many of our resources and really has not done anything to promote the safety and security of the American people. On a more local level, we take some policy issues that are relevant to particular towns, like we have resolutions that maybe the Chapel Hill Town Council might take some particular stance with respect to policy. In the past, we passed a resolution at the county level having to do with instructing our sheriff not to join the 287G program, which is a program having to do with getting money from the federal government to enforce immigration laws, to make the county of law enforcement part of the national immigration law enforcement as well. And that actually was passed by our county board of commissioners. So we take positions on a number of issues, from things like speed bumps on roads all the way up to international issues having to do with war and national security and that sort of thing.
I know you all were very involved in the Rogers Road struggle, and that has been resolved, well, for Rogers Road at least, successfully.
Well, that,
now they're looking at my community.
Yes, we did pass a resolution, I guess it's been a couple of years now, asking the county commissioners to re-examine their decision to locate that transfer station in the Rogers Road community. And the county commissioners did, in fact, do that, led by, I think, Mike Nelson was the first commissioner who said, you're right, we need to redo this, and then the rest of the commissioners fell in line with that that program as well. And it has been moved away from the Rogers Road community, and right now they're currently targeting a place or two out on West 54, but it's not over until it's over yet, and I'm not sure how that's going to come out. There's also community opposition out in the Bingham Township area around White Cross as well, where that mm-hmm. where that transfer station is now possibly going to be located. So we'll see how that goes. However, I do think, as far as the Rogers Road community goes, that the community agreed that it shouldn't go in the Rogers Road community. They had the landfill for 37 years. It was time to move waste, solid waste facilities away from that community rather than putting more there. And based on that general community consensus, which I think was long overdue, the commissioners have made those changes.
Yeah, I agree. Let's talk about a couple of top priorities for you all locally here now. What, I mean, do you have a sense of, you were saying earlier that there are some things that were unfinished from last year that remain on the agenda. What would be your top priorities this year?
Well, we ended up last year with about 19 different policy resolutions, and my guess is, I haven't gone back to look, we were more involved last year with electoral politics than policy initiatives, so mm-hmm. I haven't gone back to actually study which ones of those came to fruition, but typically it's a rather small fraction of them that actually get passed in a governmental body in any particular point in time. So we have things about I think I would say our public policy stance this year is going to be oriented toward energy and the environment, and the move toward clean energy, solar power, wind power in this state. We have a high potential for wind power in North Carolina. Advancing at the national level, increasing the CAFE standards so that cars get better gas mileage. And in this state, we passed last year, this is one of the things that we did get, was a portfolio, an energy portfolio standard, which was that a certain fraction of the energy that the power plants, the power companies put out, has to be derived from renewable sources. And with the time, you know, you have to have this much energy done by renewable energy sources by a certain date, which I think was 2020, and I think maybe it was 12.5% by 2020.
Yeah, it was some, it seemed like a small percentage, and then, yeah.
It was a small percentage, but the thing is, it really means that the power companies have to then be open to accepting into the power grid energy from alternative sources, rather than generating all of their own energy mm-hmm. in coal-fired power plants or nuclear power plants. Mm-hmm. They have to accept new energy sources from other producers, which gets the foot in the door in a big way for alternative energy. So it was a fairly good step forward, even though the fraction didn't look particularly high. So that's one aspect. Another thing that we're very concerned about is health care, and we were very happy to see that the House of Representatives passed the SCHIP extension that President Bush vetoed last year twice. So that will increase the amount of the number of children, of lower income children in North Carolina that actually have access to health care on a regular basis. So that's.
And this will actually be effective, because at one time a criticism of this SCHIP was that, in fact, it looked like it was being touted as covering more children, but in fact it would not have successfully covered them.
Right. So, well, this, I don't remember the number exactly, but it seemed like it was going to cover another 750,000 children in North Carolina, which is
a lot of
additional children to get health care in our state.
Yeah.
And so we were happy about that. And mental health, at the state level, mental health really needs to be looked at and better organized and dealt with in a rational fashion that actually looks at what the program is and what the consequences of it might be. I think the reform of mental health of several years back, I don't think that people thought through carefully all the consequences of that, and it really became a shambles.
Yeah.
Frankly.
Yeah, and despite our having achieved some mental health parity success, yeah, it has been a shambles, and it does need to be looked at. I have to say, fortunately, in this community, we have right across the street here a new community mental health clinic that was funded in the past few months. It's just opened in January, and it's a UNC community mental health clinic, and it provides treatment to individuals within the community who are struggling with mental illness, and it focuses, of course, on Orange County and Orange and Chatham County residents. Let's go back. One of the things that I've been noticing lately is that now with the election passed, news is beginning to refocus, and water is going to become a very, very big issue. Now, we've known this for years and years and years, but looking recently at some of the international press, it's becoming an international issue, I guess, more quickly than it does in this country. We tend to take it for granted, but is that going to be on your radar this year?
It was on our radar last year, and it hasn't gone away as a problem. We did have that public forum on water and growth that we had last year.
Oh, that's right.
Year.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
And we have been encouraging our Board of County Commissioners to look at water and plan long-term. And, in fact, there is long-term planning underway now. And one of the things that needs to be done, and I believe it's underway, is actually assess how much water there is in Orange County. That is, not only how much water is there in the reservoirs, but how much groundwater is there. And once we get a real sort of budget of water, there's this much water and we get this much rainfall sort of year in, year out, and that means we're going to have this much water. Now, how can we make sure that we use it properly? And so it's a local issue, it's a state issue, it's a national and international issue, and there are part of the struggle in the Middle East right now between the Palestinians and the Israelis, for example, has to do with that the Jordan River, that very precious commodity, and who's going to have access to it. So water is a big issue.
Big issue. I have to take just a minute here to talk about our sponsor, Internationalist Books at 405 West Franklin Street. This is a great little community resource, a book. If they don't have it on their shelves, they can order it for you and are happy to do so. Go by there, or you can look them up online, Internationalist Books. And again, it's 405 West Franklin Street. And we thank them for sponsoring the Wilf Wake Up Call. And you can also visit our website. It's Triangle Wilf. That's Triangle, WILPF.org. And I've just been handed a couple of announcements. Wilf has helped to build the community in solidarity with the striking Moncure workers of the International Association of Machinists, that's IAM, and Local 369. And if you want more information about that, the support for them is ongoing. There are vigils, and you can call 968-1888 for more information. That's 968-1888. We are being asked to say no to company demands for a 60-hour work week, no to a 300% health care premium increase, no to workplace safety violations, no to efforts to weaken the union, no to replacement workers, and yes to negotiating a just contract with the workers. Again, for more information, call Lori Hoyt at 968-1888. And now we're back with Jack Sanders of the Orange County Democratic Party. And Jack, let's go. All right, we talked about water, and the thing was, there was a strong presence during the Obama campaign here in North Carolina. I know they were organizing in all of the states and were very careful about their grassroots organizing. And this Organizing for America, which you mentioned at the beginning, was a way for them to keep a low overhead and also to keep people connected to the campaign. Now, I know they are looking at doing that. They've already started, in fact, looking at doing that. And you, as you pointed out, it's a special project of the DNC. But are you all actually actively involved in that? Have you been contacted, or
I think the notice went out to everybody who was on the big email list that the Obama campaign developed, and they've got 13 million people on email lists, and I think the notice went out, and it basically, they've maintained their internet infrastructure so that people can set up meetings, call meetings, get them posted, people can go online and look up where those meetings are close to them and stay involved. And what we have is in Orange County is that a number of the people that worked on the Obama campaign, the Campaign for Change, have taken the leadership in setting up a meeting on January 28th. And the Democratic Party will be there. We will be there with a table advertising our precinct meetings and participating in the discussion as well. But I'm actually quite impressed with the leadership that has emerged from the Obama campaign that was just separate from the Democratic Party. I mean, a lot of new energy came into the political process as a result of the Obama campaign, and based primarily on Obama just as an inspirational, a charismatic leader. And so there's a whole lot of new energy, and we're looking forward to seeing how that particular initiative, the Organizing for America, is going to operate and how it can be integrated, if possible, with the local Democratic Party so that we don't end up, I guess, frankly, here's one of the things I'm a little concerned about, is that we might end up with parallel structures.
Explain.
In the localities with a structure that's sort of being driven by David Plouffe and what remains of the Obama campaign organization at a high level, being told to do various things, and a separate Democratic Party that has its own public policy initiatives, and yet there's almost 100% overlap in what their public policy initiatives are going to be. I mean, particularly here in Orange County, where it's a very progressive county, and the public policy stances that the party takes are typically reflect the fact that we have a progressive citizenry here. We take progressive stances, and the Campaign for Change is going to take progressive stances, at least here in Orange County, because again, it's people out of the progressive community that we live in. So what I would like to make sure happens is that we don't end up with two parallel structures here.
How do you do that?
Well, we communicate, and we try to integrate them into the party and enable them to take leadership roles in the party, and just let's all work together, basically, is what it amounts to.
We've just been handed something, another piece of paper. The Orange County Dems and Obama Campaign for Change, the first joint meeting at 7 p.m. It doesn't say a date on here. It is January 28th. Okay. At 7 p.m. at the Chapel Hill Community Church, 105 Purefoy Road. And again, you can get more information at the orangedems.com website. And that's January 28th, 7 p.m., Chapel Hill Community Church on Purefoy Road. Okay, and back, we're going to have to wrap up shortly with Jack Sanders. But, Jack, is there anything you'd like to say before we have to close?
I would like to say something about our upcoming precinct meetings. The precinct organization is the sort of the basic unit in the Democratic Party. It's our grassroots unit. It's where our political action starts. It's where our community organizing and community service starts. It's where our get out the vote activities take place, with the door-to-door communication, direct communication with election workers, with the citizens. And so our precinct organizations are the most important part of the Democratic Party, that grassroots organization. And our annual precinct meetings are February the 24th at 7 p.m. The location is frequently at the polling place, so if you know your polling place, that may well be where it is, but it's not always, because some polling places are churches, for example, and they're open for elections, but they're not open for precinct meetings, in which case the meeting has to be somewhere else. But you can find your precinct meeting place, date, and time by going to the Orange County website, www.orangedems.com. After February the 1st, we will have a list there of the precincts and their meeting times and places. So I want to encourage everybody who wants to get involved in the political process. A great way to do that is join your local Democratic precinct and get involved that way.
Great. And again, that's orangedems.com. Thank you, Jack, and it was impressive, actually, some of the stuff you all did, the way you organized this past year and got people involved, and we're hoping that that is going to continue. One of the things I've really been pleased to see is that the Obama folks are really aware that this isn't a, you know, you've courted the voters, now move on with your lives and, you know, focus on strictly federal issues, that they really are reaching out to the grassroots and want to continue that through the next four years,
yes,
so that they can stay in touch.
Right. I think they have to try to bring those supporters, get them involved in local and state issues, because if they try to keep them involved with national issues only, it isn't gonna last. Mm-hmm. There just isn't enough to do if you're working at the national level, and people tend to get more involved, more committed to the issues if it's a local
around
issue,
their,
you know,
own,
if it's
community,
their school, if it's their community, if it's their water and sewer that are not being provided, for example, people can get really involved in those issues, and therefore you build a community, you have the organization in place, people know each other, they've made the connections, and then they're available when the national issue becomes critical and it's time to call your congressman or your senator.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Jack.
And you're welcome.
We'll come back again, report again.
Thank you.
This has been the Wolf Wake Up Call, and brought to you on WCOMLP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro, 103.5, your local community, all-volunteer radio station. And I hope you'll join us again next week. Thank you. I'm Tana Hartman, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.